Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, today I'm going to talk about something a little different from our normal themes. I want to introduce you to a little-known treatment for autoimmune diseases that could save millions of lives. And to oversimplify, autoimmune disease occurs when our own immune systems attack naturally existing body tissues as if they were a foreign substance, often with disastrous results. Have you or a loved one been suffering for years from an autoimmune disease like multiple sclerosis, lupus, or Crohn's? Have you almost given up hope of finding a treatment that can help you? It's hard to fathom, but autoimmune diseases afflict over 50 million Americans and cost over $100 billion in direct health care costs every year. And autoimmune diseases, sometimes called the Terrible Hundred, include these all too common chronic debilitating, often fatal diseases, multiple sclerosis or MS, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, and Crohn's disease. And the drugs commonly used to treat autoimmune diseases are expensive, often ineffective, sometimes wreaking havoc on patients with damaging side effects. But here's some good news. My guest, Julia Shopik, is here to tell us all about an alternative drug that's proven highly effective and costs far less. This drug has been proven in treating autoimmune diseases and also HIV, AIDS, Parkinson's disease, and some cancers. And this is Julia's second visit to our program. She was our featured guest on December 30th, 2013. And remember, you can go back and listen to all our prior programs. They're all posted on our website. But to refresh your memory, Julia Shopik is a patient advocate, health writer, and creator of the award-winning blog HonestMedicine.com. She's author of an Amazon best-selling book, Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Diseases. She's appeared on hundreds of talk shows, and her columns and articles have appeared widely in the national press. Julia also coaches patients on how to approach their doctors about treatments that the doctors may not be aware of, and she's been tested by fire. She served as patient advocate for her late husband, Tim, who battled for 15 years against brain cancer. And hello, Julia, and welcome back.
Roy, what a great introduction. I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be back.
Well, let's not remain in suspense. What is the name of the alternative drug for treating autoimmune diseases that has proven so cost-effective and so effective in treating the diseases?
You know, it's called low-dose naltrexone, and the interesting thing about it, Roy, is that it was FDA-approved 30 years ago, actually 32 years ago, 1984, for a treatment, but it was approved by the FDA in higher doses than what it's being used now for autoimmune diseases. Yes. It was approved for another purpose entirely at 50 milligrams, and now it's being used in teeny, teeny doses, like 3 and 4.5 milligrams for autoimmune diseases.
Holy.
And I tell the story in my book, In Honest Medicine, about this very creative doctor. I know we don't have time, you know, to talk about everything.
Yeah.
But this creative doctor named Dr. Bernard Bihari figured out this whole, I guess I would call it a kind of puzzle, you know. Yeah. And thousands of people today are using it successfully. For the diseases. You mentioned several of them. There are over 100 autoimmune diseases.
Wow. Isn't it interesting how sometimes medicines which are developed and approved for one use turn out to be extremely effective for something totally unrelated?
It's amazing. And you know, you want to know something, Roy? Doctors are used to prescribing medicines off-label. I believe cardiology is one of the specialties where they're routinely being prescribed off-label. This is called off-label when it's for another purpose.
Yeah.
But this one, low-dose naltrexone, is also at a teeny, teeny dose, like a tenth of the dose that it was FDA approved for. So it was found in 1984 to be extremely safe.
I'm going to call it LDN. I know that it's sometimes called that, so I don't have to pronounce it. But is LDN and how does it work?
Well, you mentioned that the theory of autoimmune diseases is that the immune system is in overdrive.
Yeah.
And therefore, this is so interesting, Roy, because therefore the drugs that you mentioned in your wonderful introduction that are used, to treat autoimmune diseases are usually drugs that make the immune system that close it down.
Not always a good thing, I'm sure.
No, because that's why, Roy, when you hear the ads, remember you said how dangerous these drugs are?
Yeah.
You hear the ads for like Enbrel and Humira and Remicade. Wait till the end, and what you hear is that your immune system may be very, very weak, and the end part usually says you may develop cancers, including lymphomas. This is what happens when you shut.
Yeah, I love those drug ads that scare you more than they make you want to take them.
And, Roy, well, they should scare you, right? I mean,
well,
I don't
mean to be. Pray tell, why do you think so few physicians describe low-dose naltrexone
if it is
proven so effective?
Well, Dr. Bahari disagreed with this theory that with autoimmune diseases, what you have to do is shut the immune system down, okay?
Yeah.
He found that this low-dose naltrexone, LDN, as you correctly pointed out, and by the way, it was, as we said, approved as naltrexone, so he renamed it at the low-dose naltrexone. And what he found, this is so interesting, is that it raised endorphin levels.
Huh.
And you know what endorphin levels are, the runner's high that you get, it modulated. He used two words, modulated or orchestrated the immune system.
Huh.
In other words, if the immune system is overactive, it makes it go, not be so overactive. But there are cases where the immune system needs to be activated, like in cancer. And so with some cancers, I don't want to recommend it as the only treatment for cancers because cancer is a very complex.
Is such a misnomer because there's so many different types and diseases within that term cancer.
But this one is just, you asked another question, though, and I will get to that. You asked, why do so few doctors know about it?
Yeah.
And this is the million-dollar question, and I have an answer that maybe isn't a million-dollar answer, but the answer is that how their doctors are educated? I'm putting little quote marks around the word educated about drugs.
You sometimes talk about being trained rather than educated.
You got it. You read my book, I see. Because in my book, In Honest Medicine, Dr. Bert Berkson, one of the heroes of my book, talks about how doctors, as you just said, are trained and not educated. Education involves looking outside the box, being curious, but they are trained. And the sad part is that often their training comes, not their education, but we'll use the word training, as you said. Their training comes from the pharmaceutical people who come in and bring them their drugs.
Yeah, when I'm at the hospital, I always see these guys with the briefcases come in, say, there comes another one of the pharmaceutical reps.
There you go. And the other place, and this is kind of shocking what I'm about to say, they're also educated by the articles in their medical journals. And guess what? There has been proof that a lot of these articles in the medical journals are written actually by the manufacturers of the drugs themselves, and they pay a prestigious doctor to put his name on it. Now, I'm not making...
Yeah, that's kind of like the wolf guarding the chicken house.
It is. And I please, with your listeners, I don't mean to say that every study is that way.
No.
But there are enough of them that we have to be suspicious, And here's the thing. This drug, I'm going to call it a drug, low-dose naltrexone, is made by compounding pharmacists, which are the kinds of pharmacists that will take a drug and make it at any strength that you need.
Oh, I see.
And it's made very inexpensively. And guess what? There's no drug rep. There's no pharmaceutical rep because it's an off-label drug. It's a generic,
yeah,
you know, that comes around and teaches your doctors. So here's the thing. A lot of times it's the patients teaching their doctors.
Yeah.
And doctors often don't like patients to teach them.
No, from your experience, are most doctors open to letting you try LDN, or do they usually say, oh, you're not, yeah, why would you be telling me I'm the doctor?
Well, things are changing. And
that's
the answer
good.
To your question is yes, that's the usual answer. But I've actually had some pretty good results, actually very good results, coaching people who want to try LDN. I think it's very important that if you're going to use any, I believe any supplement too, but any drug, that your doctor definitely be aware of it. But in this case, your doctor will have to prescribe it.
Yeah.
So I've been conducting coaching sessions. And, you know, my dad was a doctor. So I know how doctors think, or at least, and I also remember I was an advocate for my husband for 15 years, there are ways to tell your doctor that you want to try something, and there are ways not to. The way not to tell your doctor is to say, doctor, I found something on the internet. Whoa.
Dr. Google.
I don't know if you've been on Facebook, Roy, but there's this cup that's being promoted that says something about Dr. Google doesn't know as much as your doctor. So they hate it when you say that.
Yeah,
so I try to teach people how to approach the doctor correctly. As a matter of fact, I've written an article on that topic that was published recently. If any of your listeners would like a copy of it, just send me an email at julia@honestmedicine.com and say, Roy Richards article.
Yeah,
and then I will be able to send it. Okay?
Yeah. Well, let's say your physician won't bend despite your coaching or your suggestions, and he or she absolutely refuses to prescribe LDN. Where can you go to locate an alternative physician in your geographical area who is open to LDN treatment? What do you do then?
This is a very, you know, now this I can't take credit for, but I can help with it. And that is that there are so many patient advocates, people who have been helped so much by low-dose naltrexone that they've actually put together, and the woman's name who actually did the list is Crystal Nason, and she put together a list of doctors. She's prodigious at this. She's amazing. A list of doctors who will prescribe it. Now, we cannot put it online. We cannot because,
oh,
you
that's
know,
too bad.
No. However, if people are on Facebook, they can join one of the Facebook groups. It's easy to find them. There's one called Got Endorphins? LDN. There are just several of them. But they can also write to me, Julia@Honest Medicine, and tell me what town you're in, and I can help you find a doctor, as can Crystal. But I'll be using Crystal's list, which she has shared with me.
It's too bad that isn't available on the internet.
You know what?
It's easier.
I have to tell you why. And this is a sad state of affairs. You know, these doctors are really stepping out of the box, you know? And they're not doing anything illegal. I mean, you know that any doctor can prescribe any medication off-label, but they're afraid. Now, they often will say they're afraid of being sued. There's nothing they can be sued for. This is a very innocuous, safe medication, but their fellow doctors don't like to see that a doctor is stepping out of the box.
Yeah, it's like so much else in society. You know, it starts when we're in junior high. We never want to be different or outside the
you know
group.
What I call it? I call it the kindergarten.
I'm not doing what
my friends don't do, you know.
Yeah, I think it gets even worse in junior high, but it probably starts back in kindergarten. Well, let's broaden our conversation to talk about your Amazon bestseller, Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Diseases. And I guess you were inspired from your experience with your husband, which was a sad story, which you go into, but it was also an inspiring story, and that I guess, like, he survived from 1990 for 15 years after originally being diagnosed. And
you know what, Roy? This is the reason. Thank you for bringing this up, because this is the reason that I became. It's what made turn me into a patient advocate, because I was taking care of my husband. And, you know, my dad was a doctor, and he had sort of said, stay away from the medical establishment. He didn't like his fellow doctors, you know.
Good for him.
But when my husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor, I just froze. I was so scared. And so was he, you can imagine, because they gave him maximum of 3 years to live, 18 months, 3 years. I know.
Yeah.
So basically, we just followed advice. We were like little foot soldiers, you know, just like that.
Yeah, you start when you get, you're so frightened and everything, you just do whatever the doctor tells you. I think that would be your first natural instinct, I guess.
It was, and I was shocked at myself, because I knew that my father, he was now not living. You know, he would have said, Jewel, come on, you know.
Yeah.
But we were both terrified. But then my husband was surviving anyway. You know, we did the surgery, the chemo, the radiation. And then I began to notice at about the three-year mark, you know, the time he was not supposed to be here anymore, but he was still here, that he was developing every complication, every side effect of the treatments, not of the tumor.
Isn't that a tragic thing when you're
horrible
surviving the tumor and the side effects are getting you?
In fact, are you ready for this, Roy?
Yeah.
He got a radiation-caused stroke. He was 41 years old when he had the stroke. He also had many, many things like hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain.
Ooh.
Then they had to go in and put in a shunt and then to bring the water out, and it was a mess. All of
that's terrible.
I said, oops, I better start researching.
Yeah.
And I did, and I will not make the story as long, but what we found out was that the doctors, we found a nutritionist who was brilliant. She helped him to get his diet in order. She helped him with lots of supplements that made him feel better. And he was surviving, and he was thriving. I would use the word thriving. We found that the doctors were not at all interested in anything we were doing.
Oh, isn't that pathetic?
This was pathetic. But then in 2001, I don't know if we have time to tell the story, but my husband had a recurrence. This was 11 years later. And this time, because of the radiation, his suture line would not heal.
And
ended up having 8 additional surgeries in a vein attempt. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you discovered this wonder, Silverton, which is another...
I did. That's exactly right.
Talk about in your book. But,
That's exactly right. As he became more and more brain injured and more paralyzed, which he had not been when he walked into the surgery, I kept trying to find something that would help. And then through an integrative doctor, not an alternative doctor, an integrative one, I found this treatment that you just mentioned, Silverlon, Silverlon.
It was Silverlon. I was thinking of Silverton.
Well, you know what? I just was spelling it because if people want to learn about it, you know, it's Silverlon.
Silverlon.
Pieces of material impregnated with silver ions, and I got permission to put it on his head. He was in the hospital, obviously.
Yeah.
And we put it on his head, and you know what? For the first time in 8 months, his skin started to heal.
Oh, wow.
And this is where I got my big aha moment, because as his skin was healing, and remember, it hadn't healed over 8 surgeries that they had done, right?
Yeah.
One of the doctors came over to me and he said, you know, we don't think it was what you found that healed your husband's skin.
Of course not. You're not a doctor.
I know. So I said, shocked, you know, I was really surprised. I didn't know what to expect, you know. I said, well, what do you think could have done it? You know, we put the silver on yesterday. It's healing today. Doctor said, yeah, we know. But we all think, we've been talking about you, and we think that it was the vancomycin. That's the IV antibiotic that my husband Tim had been on for 6 weeks at least.
Yeah, it just magically kicked in.
Roy, those were the words he used. I said, well, wait a minute. He's been on the antibiotic, the vancomycin, for 6 weeks. It's exactly what the doctor said. Vancomycin is long.
That doesn't really sound like a scientific mind to come to that conclusion.
But it kicks in. So that was the moment that I decided, you know what? There have to be other treatments, just like Silverlon and just like the low-dose naltrexone that I told you about, that are time-tested, that are inexpensive, that are effective. And they treat, and this was the important thing to me, they couldn't just be treatments for a cold, you know, that would heal anyway, right?
Yeah, no.
They had to be treatments for very life-threatening. And
yeah, what I like about the all four of the treatments you talk about is that you say that no one's making large sums of money in producing or prescribing them.
Nope.
You know, they're either generic or off-label or diets and supplements, that type of thing that is affordable, as well as I know you also make sure that a number of patients are strongly advocating the use of those drugs, people that have recovered from the treatments.
And the wonderful thing is, with all of them, there are actually doctors who are out there. I just communicated with one today. His name is Dr. Jared Younger, and he used to be at Stanford. And he did studies on low-dose naltrexone for fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are doctors who are very passionate about these treatments. So there are doctors and there are patients. And you know what? They're out there and they're promoting. And because I love, you know, of my book and that I love being on radio, I have the honor of being able to help them. So
that's wonderful. Well, where should we go to preview and purchase your book? What's the best place
you can find it? Actually, my website, honestmedicine.com, surprised at the title, but it has links to all the different places. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. You can get it also as e-books. Now, I am not an e-book fan.
No, I'm not either, but some people are.
Me neither. I did it on, you know, everybody told me you got to have a Kindle version and a Nook version. So it's available on Kindle and Nook. It's also available on Smashwords. And but Amazon.com is where most people find it.
And isn't even on your website, don't you have a free chapter preview available?
You've been on my website. I do. I have a free chapter that is available. If you write to me again, I'll repeat the email, Julia@HonestMedicine.com. But please, I get so many emails asking for things like, you know, because I've been on so many shows, please put Roy's name in the subject line. And this time, put what you want me to send. Remember, I mentioned that I wrote an article about how to convince your doctor. If you want that, say that. And if you want the free chapter, say that too.
Well, in addition to your book and your popular blog, you offer an LDN coaching service. And tell us a little bit about what you offer on that. It's basically you're helping you approach doctors. Is that what you it's
You know,
about?
Yes. And because of my – thank you for asking, Roy – because of my background as the daughter of a doctor and a patient advocate for so many years, I really do think that I know more how doctors think. You know, so many people were calling me and said, you know, I brought in stuff from the internet. I go, oh, no, you should have called me first, but I didn't have a coaching program, you know. So now I do. And the coaching program consists, it's actually pretty, it's complete. Because it has materials, you know, that you can bring to your doctor. For instance,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, doctors think in a certain way.
Yeah.
And one thing they want, if you don't have the big phase 3 clinical trials that cost billions of dollars and only pharmaceutical companies can afford, you can find materials. For instance, remember I told you about Dr. Jared Younger?
Yeah.
Well, his studies that were done at Stanford, and he's doing other studies. He just moved to the University of Alabama, I believe. I hope I'm not getting it wrong. But the studies are listed in PubMed. Your doctor is going to tell you there are no studies. Yes, there are.
They should go to your website then to sign up for your coaching. Is that the best
Absolutely.
Way to
do it? Absolutely. It'll say LDN coaching at honestmedicine.com. And one reason why, you know, I told you also that we do have a list of doctors, you know, who will prescribe. But you know something, Roy? It's a lot of times people do have a doctor that they have gone to for years. They're just insecure about how to convince their doctor.
Yeah.
And their doctor should be part of their treatment plan.
Yeah. And, that's exactly.
And
right.
You don't want to just be walking there. Oh, the other thing they do, and I know, is to bring in piles of information from the internet. Don't do that. I'll help you.
Well, to conclude, as Julia Shopik advises in her book, she long ago gave up on the idea of changing the medical system. We all know it's simply too large, entrenched, complicated, and well-funded. but by getting educated on your condition, you will gain self-confidence and the knowledge you need to intelligently discuss treatment options with your doctor, including that LDN treatment. And many years ago, I know, Julia, you mentioned in your book that your father, who was himself a physician, gave you this sound advice: if a doctor tells you he knows all the answers, run like hell.
Wow, now, you have a great memory. Right?
Nowadays, I guess we'd modify that to he or she, because there are a lot of lady doctors out there. But as we concluded the last time Julia was here, you need to be an educated, qualified partner along with your physicians in a joint venture collaboration to overcome your disease or condition, including autoimmune diseases. And in fact, you are a senior partner because you have the most skin in the game, your life, health, and quality of living. And if you or a loved one are battling a life-threatening autoimmune disease, neurological condition, or some types of cancer, I highly recommend Julia Schobeck's book, blog, and her coaching options. And Julia can help you face down your gut-wrenching fear about confronting your physician and intelligently discussing options.
Roy, what a great description. Thank you.
Yeah, working with your doctor to develop a comprehensive battle plan, I'm losing my voice, will give you the confidence you need to come out the victor, and self-confidence builds the internal strength you will need to restore your health. And thank you, Julia, both for your advice and for your inspiration.
Thank you so, so much, Roy. And anytime, I love being on with you. You're so terrific. You're so well prepared. It just flows. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's mutual. Believe me, you're doing a great work out there. And now let's all go out and have a healthy spring. Thanks to Julia Schofick for introducing us to LDN and for her message on patient empowerment. And I trust you will assume the attitude of senior partner the next time you consult with or seek treatment from your physician, because certainly you have the most to lose and the most to gain. And I'm going to spend the rest of today's program talking about the blessings and the curse of middle age, with more concentration on the blessings, and I'll suggest ways to tune into those blessings so that you can have a joyful and productive second half. You know, when I look in the mirror, I observe flab on my stomach, wrinkles on my face, and a pouch under my chin. I see gray hair or no hair. No, you ladies don't see no hair, but maybe gray. I not only need glasses, I need bifocals or reading glasses over my contact lenses. Whereas I used to jog a mile in 6 minutes, heck, in college I used to run it in 4.5 minutes, but now I'm lucky to make it in 10. When I recently attended my high school reunion, I observed that many of my former classmates are in similar shape. More important, of course, than physical appearance is our midlife point of reference. Sometime today, please pause a few moments to take your emotional temperature. Do you consider yourself trapped in a dull, mind-numbing daily routine? Maybe you're so busy and it's so hectic you haven't even had time to think about how miserable you are. Are idealism, romance, and adventure gone from your life, replaced by a never-ending struggle to maintain the status quo, an endless progression of health, family, or workplace crises? Maybe financial crises also, as your children turn into teenagers and are getting ready, or maybe are already in college. Maybe a strained or ruptured personal relationships, or a disappointing dead-end career. With each passing day, do you find yourself scrambling ever faster simply to keep up? What became of the extended quiet periods for personal meditation? Do you miss those romantic spring and autumn walks in the woods with your spouse or significant other? Perfect time of the year for that, isn't it? What happened to time out for relaxation with the kids and good old family fun? When was the last time you attended church, temple, or synagogue? Precisely when and why did you cease dreaming of a brighter tomorrow? You know, negative emotions and deprivations like these are symptomatic of the all-too-common middle-age malaise, the curse of lost dreams and diminished expectations. That's what I like to call it. At some point beyond 40, most of us realize that we're not as young or attractive as we once were, that offspring, once the center of our world, are beginning to tune us out, and that our most recent job promotion likely will be the last. The clock on the wall is ticking, and for the first time in life, we're beginning to realize that we're not likely to accomplish all of those lofty career and lifestyle aspirations which appeared so attainable just a short 10 years ago. You know, when you're in a better mood, I trust you will reflect upon the multiple blessings of middle age, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Your offspring are fully or nearly grown, soon to be out on their own, and you did a great job of raising them. Perhaps for the first time in years, you and your spouse now have ample opportunity to spend quality time together, broaden personal horizons, and share life-enriching adventures just for two. Maybe each of you will have a lot of adventures on your own you'll want to explore also, as we all have our individual hobbies and desires. Grandchildren have or soon will add a wonderful new dimension. It'll be great to have those little kids around again, won't it? Cable or direct television, the home computer, the internet, the smartphones, and iPads have brought undreamed of cultural, educational, and entertainment opportunities right into your home or even on the go. And as empty nesters, you and your spouse can come and go as you please. And although only two of you remain in your formerly bustling residence, maybe just one of you, you can communicate in an instant with offspring, friends, and loved ones anywhere in the world. And thanks to years of diligent saving and investment, I trust you've attained the financial security you only dreamed of in your 20s and 30s. And if you don't have that security, by golly, get going on it right away so you can have a good retirement. Your personal income, or personal resume, I should say, has been building over the past 30 years. As a mature adult, you have experienced both the bitter and the sweet, and you've acquired the innate capacity to distinguish true gold from glitter. You've conditioned yourself to filter the idealism of youth through the hard lenses of adult reality, and you routinely avoid the foolish mistakes you might have made 20, even 10 years ago. In fact, never before have you been better equipped to accomplish every lifelong goal and objective genuinely important to you. Think about that. Never before have you been this equipped. These are the blessings of middle age: a level head, enhanced financial security, and the capacity for clear thinking. And when coupled with good health, and I trust you're in good health today, if not, take whatever steps you need to take those extra pounds off and gain that energy. But along with a fresh, positive outlook, one's 40s, 50s, and 60s can be decades of maximum personal fulfillment accompanied by invaluable service to others. You're young enough to remain vital and productive, but you've graduated from the ever-present distractions of nurturing small children, even before that finding a life partner or a mate, struggling to pay bills, and launching your career. The secret to a joyful and rewarding second half of life is to combine a youthful zest for daily living with the mature judgment of middle age, and once you've regained firm control of your emotions, you will have absolutely no reason to fear an unfavorable ultimate outcome, and you will develop your own roadmap for success. As a positive, self-confident man or woman pursuing a proactive agenda, there is no place in your life for lingering bitterness, self-doubt, or recrimination. And to launch your midlife revitalization, please pause a few moments this very day to make yourself four solemn promises. And I highly recommend these promises. Promise number one, starting today, I will no longer dwell upon past mistakes. Promise number two, from this moment on, I appoint myself as CEO of me. You know, we often talk about that on this show, but who is more qualified to run your life than you yourself? It's all up to you to make it work. Of course, you will seek assistance from a whole variety of friends and support groups, but you're the CEO. Promise number three, I promise I will search for and discover ways to make my tomorrows uniformly positive, focused, and productive. My whole focus will be on positive progress in life and not on fears of what might happen next. And promise number four, I hereby ban all worry and negative thinking for at least 60 minutes every day. Why don't you start from 60 And then hopefully, maybe it'll be 23 hours and 30 minutes a day worry-free, and you can save 30 minutes, say, in the early morning or whenever you want for dealing with the worries of the day and get them out of the way. Well, it'd be nice, of course, to be 24-hour worry-free, but once you begin to cleanse your mind of lingering fears and self-doubts, your next task is to fill the void with heartfelt messages of the renewed woman or man you are becoming and you intend to become. And this person is not a total stranger, remember. Indeed, this individual possesses all the favorable attributes except youth and positive expectations you experienced in the brightest of your bygone years. This person is the new, mature you, able to combine the idealism of youth with an irreplaceable wealth of hard-earned knowledge and experience. You may be older and wiser, but you are still the man or the woman. No one can prevent you from believing in yourself 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up. Now is an appropriate moment to begin reconstruction of a positive mindset all over again. That is you. Although your face has a few more character lines and your pace through life is a bit slower, much like fine wine, your heart, mind, and soul have aged only for the better. Without delay, pledge to purge your mind once and for all of any lingering bitterness, doubt, and regret over one or more self-imposed boundaries or self-defined lost opportunities. That isn't you. Over the weeks and months ahead, I'm confident that you can and will dedicate the time and effort necessary first to visualize in great detail, ultimately to transform yourself into the positive, goal-oriented person you were created to be all along. And that person is the new, improved you. Those of us in the middle have the potential to establish and sustain satisfying relationships with persons of all ages. We grew to maturity along with the best of today's world political leaders, and the worst for that matter, giants of commerce and opinion makers, and what's to prevent each one of us from demonstrating similar soundness of judgment, capacity for growth, strength of character, and dedication to service. Our time is now. Any who experience an authentic reawakening of mind and spirit will gain a gigantic advantage over the vast majority of our middle-aged contemporaries. Just think about that. Most of them will remain mired in negative thinking, sliding through life without direction, and ceding personal destiny to the initiative of others. When you think about it, how many people really are interdirective, fun to be around, and uniformly positive and committed? Once renewed, you'll join a select vanguard of cutting-edge midlife winners who remain anchored in solid core values, proud of past accomplishments, yet fully capable of proposing, testing, implementing, and promoting creative solutions for tomorrow, moving ahead constantly, never looking back with regret. And for a detailed roadmap to midlife renewal, visit our website, middleagerenewal.com. Preview my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards, and you'll find it in print or ebook form at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or through our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And that's it for today. Tune in next week when I'll talk with one of the biggest pop stars of the 1970s and 1980s. And here's a hint, she changed captains midstream, and she's now in charge of her own destiny. And that's it for today. Now go out and enjoy spring. And remember, middle age can be your best age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.